Hey, praise the Lord.
And don't look at the world.
Praise the Lord. Let's ask the Lord to bless this Sabbath study.
Okay.
Heavenly Father, Lord and God, we thank and praise you, Lord and God, for the Sabbath day. We pray, Lord and God, that you'll be with us in a special way. We pray, Lord and God, you'll cover us in the holy blood of every stain, every blemish, every spot on your holy day. Father God, bless and anoint this day, Lord and God. We need an injection of the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. We need an infusion, Lord and God, from the kingdom of heaven. Lord and God, shower down upon us your blessings, your joy on your holy day. Heal those that need healing in their bodies. We pray for salvation. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for each other and deliverance. Lord and God, people that need to be delivered from whatever. You're very aware of everyone. Father God, we praise and thank you, Lord and God. Father, you are our Father and we are your children. We ask you these things in the name of the Messiah, Yeshua. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Well, praise the Lord, everyone. We are One of Messiah congregation, and we are here today on the Sabbath. And today is June 9th, 2007, and I still keep track of it's Sivan 23. Mm-hmm. Isn't that weird? Everyone's got memorized June 9th, but it's really Sivan 23.
Oh, that's good to see.
Go back to the top, please. We're doing a recap of the Parsha. Parsha means portion in Hebrew, and Shalach means send in Hebrew, and Bamidbar really means in the wilderness, but for some reason they call it Numbers, because they start taking the chronicles of everything. And that's what I'm doing a recap on that from last night. Last night when we read it, you know, my mind thinks of so many things, but we go so quick and it's so fast. Go right ahead. Before we get into the study, I just want to make sure, if you guys ever get a chance, you should look on my website. If you go to current events, you can click on that, and I have all these news agencies and news from Israel and all these kind of places where you can get the current events. Just like I'll give you a touch on some of the news headlines this week. I'll just tell you something. There's a big uproar in Israel about, you know, this gay parade and there's actually gay committees in Israel, homosexuals and transvestites, and they want to do a parade again. And that's another, you know, turmoil. The police agreed with it in what do you call, what's the legal term? They agreed with it in concept, but, you know, it has to pass some different laws. But that's how silly. They're trying to have a gay situation going on in Israel right when there's like turmoil and tribulations. Think of that. You would think that people would want to seek God, but instead of seeking God, they want to be like America. Other things going on is we have Ehud Olmert, the person in Israel. He's trying to bargain away the Golan Heights so he can have peace.
To Syria.
I like to bargain away his house. How about if we trade his house away? I mean, this, and you know, one of his children is a homosexual, come to think of it. We like to stand on record between this world and God to say that we believe God, that you're not supposed to give away the land, sell the land. The land is God's, and we make a stand for that. Anyway, I even hate to get too many, I'm so sick and tired of the whole headlines about Paris Hilton. That's not news. That's just a lady that done nothing in her life. She's noted for nothing. And, you know, that I'm so tired of that. This is like crazy, 2007. Of course, this recording will be playing, Lord willing, for years to come. So when you hear it, this happened in 2007, June. I just want everybody to know that. We do record these. They're on my website. But that's enough of the news, because the news really makes me nauseous. I'll be honest with you. Anyway, getting to the study, shalach in Hebrew means to, shalach lecha means you go, you send. And this, the reason why they say that, that's just from a few verses in the actual study from the book of Numbers. You know, I read the whole problem that took place with the spies is this main thing right here. God says, ani noten, I give. Numbers 13 says, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. It's already established. God's giving the land. Of every tribe of their fathers, ye shall send a man, every one a ruler among them. He says, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when you come into the land of your habitations, which I give unto you. I know a lot of times there's so many concepts. I read this so many times about go to the land, be in the land. God gave us the land. Go inhabit the land. And everyone goes, oh, okay, next page. Nobody does nothing about the land. I keep wanting to go to Israel. I feel like I was supposed to go to Israel and be in the land. And I pray God will make it really manifest and open the door, because God says so many times, go to the land, inhabit the land, dwell in the land, be in the land. You know, and then some people say, well, you know, the people in the New Testament didn't go there. That doesn't mean you're not supposed to go there. I mean, it doesn't say that. Maybe they didn't go there because of certain situations of churches that were established. We should go. I think the more presence of people that believe in the Messiah in Israel, I think you'd have another voice. That's what I personally believe. And I believe the scriptures. It's too many scriptures say, go to the land, be in the land, dwell in the land, inhabit the land. This is the land I gave you. Get over there. Don't be afraid to face a man. But anyway, getting back to this, this study last night, did you notice that they picked the rulers and they picked the heads of Israel? I mean, that's really important. So these are the people that were sent. They weren't just people that weren't in the know, so to speak, or they weren't people that weren't knowledgeable. These were knowledgeable people. These were the heads. It says right there, Numbers 13:1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou, shalach lecha men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, every one a ruler, a nasi. Nasi today in Israel means president. A nasi, a ruler among them. A nasi means prince also in Hebrew. Okay? And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, he sent them from the wilderness of Paran, all those men that were heads of the children of Israel. The word rosh in Hebrew is head. That's roshay, means heads of. So in other words, these were people that were, they were the ones in charge of each tribe. They were men of renown of each tribe. So you would think that these people would know better. That's what I'm getting at. These are people that saw all the miracles. They saw all the things God did in the Red Sea. They seen everything, that all the things, the cloud and the fire by day, you know, by night, and the cloud by day. Now, these are the people. Now, how would you like to be named in the Bible of being the heads or the rulers of the tribes, and they're by name in the Bible? You could read them right there. You know, of the tribe of Reuben, you have Shammua. He's like down in history. You figure that guy's been dead for how many years? Thousands of years. But yet we read about him all the time. And there's the tribe of Simeon, Shaphat. And then, of course, the good one is the tribe of Judah, Chalav, or Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. The tribe of Issachar, Agal. There's the tribe of Ephraim, Hoshea. See, in the English Bible, for some reason, they're writing Osea. That's wrong, I'll be honest with you. Because in the Hebrew, it's Hoshea. When I look at the actual Hebrew, I see the hay is right there. You can't mistake it. Of the tribe of Benjamin, Palti. There's Palti. He's down in history. This tribe of Zebulun, Gadiel. And there's a tribe of Joseph, and from the half-tribe of Manasseh, we have Gadi. And the tribe of Dan, Amiel. Asher, we have Setshur. Naphtali, we have Nabi. Of Gad, we have Guel. And these, just to be down in record, of this kind of a record, of people that were heads of the people, and people that's supposed to be in charge, they're the ones that were sent. Joshua is Hoshea, is Joshua. Hoshea. Hoshea, Ephraim. He's from, Joshua is Hoshea, and he's also Yeshua, we're going to see. We're going to find out that he's a picture of the Messiah. Go right ahead. It says, and Moses called Hoshea, the son of Nun, he called him Yehoshua. That's right in the Bible right there. And there it is right there in Hebrew, Hoshea bin Nun, Hoshua, Yahoshua, or Yehoshua, I should say. So in other words, there it is in Hebrew, the tribe of Judah, Caleb. In Hebrew, it's Chalev, the son of Jephunneh, and then of Ephraim, we have Hoshea, the son of Nun. So we have Chalev and Hoshea. When I see the word like Chalev, if you say Kalev in Hebrew, that means like the heart. Like the heart. But of course, Chalev is a different word. But when I see Chalev and Hoshea, Yeshua, it almost sounds to me like the heart of Jesus. But don't, I mean, these are just plays on words. Don't, you know what I mean? But this right here is, he's actually called in Hebrew, in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 17, all the congregation of them that will come again out of the captivity made booths. This is, of course, the Feast of Tabernacles in the seventh month of God called Ha'etanim. And they sat under the booths, for since the days of, in the English it says Jeshua, but in the Hebrew it says Yeshua. And that's what the A, Yeshua, Yeshua. It says Yeshua, the son of Nun. Unto the day had not the children of Israel done so, and there was great, very great gladness. So here we have the names. I mean, that's pretty interesting. You know, the two people that the only two that made it into the promised land besides the children.
So Caleb's in the lineage.
Yeah. Caleb, he's from, a lot of people think Caleb is the son of Jephunneh. Like they think he's a Gentile. No, he's from the tribe of, he's from the tribe of Ephraim. And of course, Joshua, excuse me. He's in the tribe of Judah. Yes. Right. He's before David. Right. But he's in the tribe of Judah. Right. If you want to go way back, he's in the line of the Messiah. Right. If you went backwards, because it's called Judah, and Judah all the way in the future is when Jesus, well, that's where he comes from. He's just from the tribe, right. He's not in the lineage, because the lineage is this direction, okay. Forward. You know what I mean?
I didn't know that.
But anyway, the tribe of Judah is the tribe of Judah. I mean, you know, they're all in it. But anyway, getting back to this whole study here, you got 12 men, isn't it interesting? Remember the 12 apostles? Well, there was 12 men picked, except 10 over here were bad. And they tempted the Lord 10 times. And God sent 10 plagues upon Pharaoh. Remember that? And only two of them. And that's sort of symbolic to me of the Father and the Son. You know, only two of them made it to the promised land. And of course, the children that didn't know between good and evil. But this evil report, you know, I looked up the word. You know, the word ra in Hebrew is evil. But that word's not in the Hebrew. It's debat. Debat. And when you see the word deber, means to speak. So it's something with the mouth. Deber, like, you know. But this is debat. So that's more of a evil report, like a slanderous, like, type of activity, something evil that they brought. Numbers 13:32 says, and they brought an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we had gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. So these people brought this like this evil report, because God just finished telling them, I gave you the land. Get in the land. Forget about what you're looking at. Let's put it this way. If you reached a land and there was men 10 times taller than you, God's the one who told you to go there. Anyway, the thing that really came across to me this morning when I was looking over these verses, check this out. All the congregation, all the children of Israel, the whole congregation rose up. Think of that. How many what you think there was? Yes, a couple of million probably, right? At least. It says Numbers 14:1, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. Could you imagine that? I mean, these are the same people that God rained down the manna that fed them.
Red Sea.
Yeah, Red Sea splitting open. Can you believe that? I mean, and all the other miracles. I mean, being delivered from Pharaoh is no small task. I mean, we're talking about, that was the major empire. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, listen to this, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. Can you believe them saying that? It says, listen to what they say. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land? We don't want to go to that land. It says, to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey. Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? Isn't it better for us to stay in these pagan countries than go to the land of Israel? I mean, it's so much more comfortable here. Who wants to go there? That's not desirable. And they said one to another, oh man, I'm tired of this Moses. Let's make a captain and let's return back to Egypt. Oh man, this Malachi keeps telling everyone to move to Israel. Let's stop him. Let's stay in wherever you're at. It's nice and comfortable. Well, I think if we all the believers of God move to Israel, we can make at least a voice and do something. Yes, and then we could branch out from there to other parts of the world. Like it says, the word of the Lord comes out of Jerusalem, out of Zion. We're trying to do it out of Tennessee or out of Kentucky or out of New York or out of it's backwards. We got it because it's so comfortable. The only reason we're here, you know why we're here? Because we were born here. That's all. That's the only reason we're here. And it's so comfortable here. We made our lives. We got our grandchildren and we got our relatives, and it's just so peachy here. But I wonder what that's going to mean when we meet the Lord. Anyway, these people right here, the whole can you picture a whole congregation doing this? I mean, we got the 10 leaders, and then all of a sudden you got the whole congregation. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in the wilderness. How long shall I bear? Listen to this. How long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? That God's talking. Listen to that. I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel which they murmur against me. Your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and all that were numbered of you according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Whew. All of them are going to fall in the wilderness. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, whom returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land. So all these people, you don't get you don't get away with anything. There is retribution. There is, you have to bear your iniquities, you know. Thank God that we have an intercessor nowadays. His name is Yeshua. He is the mediator. Of course, back here, Moses was trying to do that position. He was praying to God, the Father, saying, pardon, I beseech thee, verse 19, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy, and as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt, even unto now. And of course, the Lord looked down and considered the whole matter, and the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. So this is pretty amazing, because God didn't just go, I forgive them and everything's rosy. No, no, no. It says, because all the men which have seen my glory, they actually saw the kavod ha-Elohim, the glory of God. I mean, I don't even know what that means. I mean, you know, I could say it, but, you know, the fire by night, and you don't even move until the fire moves, or the cloud by day. You don't go nowhere until the cloud moves. It says, they saw my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness. Didn't he break the rock and they drank water? Water gushed out of the rock. Mm-hmm. It says, and have tempted me now these 10 times. And have, listen to that. They saw his glory, his miracles, and all the things he did in the wilderness. They tempted the Lord 10 times, and they have not hearkened to my voice. Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. Whew. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit, that's a ruach acheret, another spirit with him, and had followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Praise the Lord. I mean, Caleb, here's a guy, tribe of Judah. Yeah, the Jews, tribe of Judah, they're going to be there, his seed. Even those men that did bring up the evil report, Debat, upon the land died by the plague before the Lord. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that were to went to search the land, lived still. So a lot of people think, well, they pray, they sin, they murmur, they complain, they go, oh, forgive me, and they think, oh, they got away with it and just go on with life. That's not the way really what happens. You got to bear your iniquities, just like the Messiah bore the iniquities of all of us. We all should be stoned to death, but he paid the price. Numbers 13:25, and they returned from searching the land after 40 days. This thing, they went to search the land for 40 days. Numbers 14:33, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. Whew. After the number of the days in which you search the land, even 40 days, every day for a year shall you bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and you shall know my breach of promise. Wow. I mean, could you imagine that sentence being around you? You know, I was thinking about it this morning. I was getting dressed to come here for the Sabbath. I was thinking, I mean, let's put it this way. If we started walking today from here to California, it wouldn't take us 40 years, right? I mean, they went around this place for 40 years. We're not talking 40 minutes, 40 weeks. I mean, 40 years. Praise the Lord. Check that out, please. Okay, they need the room? Okay. Okay, anyway, the Bible says, this is really important concept in Numbers 15. It says this is so important, which I can't get across to so many people, there's one ordinance shall be both for you of the congregation and also for the stranger that sojourns with you, an ordinance forever in your generations. As you are, so shall the stranger be before you, before the Lord. There's one law, and there's one manner shall be for you, and for the stranger that sojourneth with you. It says, you shall have one law for him that sinneth through ignorance, both for him that is born among the children of Israel, and for the stranger that sojourns among them.
What happens when you sin?
Do you follow me? In other words, before we get into anything else, there's one law. It's Torah Echad. In other words, like a lot of people say nowadays, they say, well, I'm not Jewish. I don't have to keep such and such. No, there's one law. If you join the Israel of God, you're supposed to do everything. Some people say there's like, you know, 39 things you're supposed to abstain from on the Sabbath, but the Gentiles only have to do 38. And then the Orthodox says there's 613 commandments for the Jews, and the Gentiles only have to keep the seven Noahide laws. I mean, that's ridiculous. That's all a bunch of made-up nonsense. When God says there's Torah Echad, one for the Ezrach, the homeborn, and one for the Ger, the stranger that joins the people of God. One law. Does everybody get that? There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father, right? Praise the Lord. Same message. Now, El Ha'aretz, El Ha'aretz, that means into the land. God says, God is the one that says, because the Lord was not able to bring the people into the land. This is why God didn't destroy the children of Israel, because lest the people say this, which he sware unto them, wherefore he had slain them in the wilderness. Moses said this to God. He didn't want God, the people of the land, to say, oh, God couldn't bring them into the land which he promised them. You know, but that's not what took place. God changed the whole picture. But anyway, Caleb, because he had another spirit, which is really important. You have to know what spirit you're of. Some people never think about that. He had followed me fully. You see that? He followed me fully. Him will I bring into the land whereunto he went. He followed you, God, fully. It says, and his seed shall possess it. Praise the Lord. Doubtless you shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein. See, God wanted them to go to the land and dwell in there and inhabit the land and take over the land. But because these people, there's always a reason not to go. And God says that then he disinherited them. You know, he said only Caleb and Joshua, these are the people that went. Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when you come into the land of your habitations, this is what God wanted the children of Israel to do and their seed. No, a lot of people never understand that, and their seed, which I give unto you. Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when you come into the land which I bring you, whither I bring you. See, in other words, God's the one who wants us to go there according to the word. And God's the one that... It's very unfortunate. The Lubavitch, the Orthodox, are running Israel because there's nobody else there making a voice. There's nobody else there doing anything. So we have this pagan Judaism religion that's running the show. Everyone thinks that's what Jews are. But if everyone that believed the Messiah lived there, there would be a whole different... there'd be another voice. But there's nobody there. Because we went to Israel, met some Messianics. They don't even keep the Sabbath. I mean, I don't know about everybody, but the ones we met, they were trying to sell stuff at their cafe. Anyway, these chapters, I'm telling you, 13, 14, and 15 of Bamidbar Numbers, I'm only touching on a few things. It's packed full of things, you know. You could sort of gauge yourself, think about yourself. Of course, my flesh don't want to go anywhere either. I mean, I like to just hang out by the beach and, like, you know, who wants to go to Israel? I mean, no, but my spirit goes, yeah, that's where God says to go. Inhabit the land, be in the land, dwell in the land. I mean, anyway, in this study, there was many types of offerings to the Lord. And I don't know, I was thinking to myself, Do I have offerings in my life? Do I offer anything to the Lord? Peace offerings, praise? You're supposed to offer up the fruit of your lips, the praise offerings. Do you do that a lot during the day? Or do you forget about God during the week? Or I remember this last week that passed by, you know, of course the Bible says there's 6 days you're supposed to work, right? But that doesn't mean you're supposed to forget about the Lord. But a lot of people just work for 6 days. They don't read, they don't pray, they don't do fast, they don't do nothing. God didn't say, just work and forget about me for 6 days. There's a misinterpretation. So I got into a lot of different business this last week, you know, and I could see how it does take you away from being mind. Your mind gets away from the Lord. I mean, you start, you know, you got to watch it. Then you start mimicking things of the world, you know. And the world really wants to get you. That's why I wish there was more brothers and sisters to be with during the week. I wish we had our own businesses and our own church. I wish one of those millionaires out there would send some money to us. We could build a house of God. You know, we build a yeshiva, a place of study for the people of the Lord. And I like to have one right in the midst of everybody so they could see it. Not some little thing hiding in some field in the woods. I want to be like I want to be like a thorn right in everyone's side. The Sabbath of the Lord. You know, it's amazing this whole study. That we went through a lot of things. There's so many things in this chapter, but somehow in chapter 15, where it ends, this time, it ends up, these people, they did have so many things wrong, and God ends up talking about this fringe. You see this little fringe that I got? You know, people think, you don't have to wear that today. It doesn't go with my outfit. You know, no. I think, after reading this chapter again yesterday, I thought, gosh, now, I was in business last week. Not that I forgot about the Lord, but I could see how my mind was doing things. But if I had that on me, I might have said, oh, wait, the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. I might have started thanking the Lord or praising the Lord just because of that little fringe. Tzitzit. It says, the Be'er el b'nei Yisrael amarta elehem ve'asu lehem tzitzit al kanfei. Bid dehem ledotam the dorotam ve natnu al tzitzit kanaf patil tachelet. And what that all means very simply is the Lord spake unto Moses and said, speak unto the children of Israel and bid them. Because these are the guys that are blowing it, murmuring. They forgot about everything about me. They forget about everything that I did. They forget about the miracles. They forget about the Red Sea. They forget about that I'm still here watching them, hearing them, observing them. I see everything that they're doing. They forgot. So because they are people that forget, I want them, bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, that they may put upon the fringe of the borders a ribbon of blue and it shall be unto you a fringe, that when it says that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, that you seek not after your own heart and after your own eyes, after which you used to go a whoring. And I got to be honest with you, I thought about that last night and I thought, boy, that makes so much sense, because it is easy to forget about the Lord during the week. It is easy to forget about thanking the Lord, praising the Lord, the commandments of the Lord. But if you had on some tzitzit, some fringe, and just by chance you happen to look at it, all of a sudden, boink, it's like putting a string around your finger. You remember something, right? You know, the world started that thing, put the string around the finger. That's what the fringe is. I was thinking about the fringe this morning, too. I was thinking about, you know, it's just some, like, fringe, you know, like a little fraying kind of stuff. Is that to look at that? And I was thinking, God, what is it real? What other meanings is it? I was thinking maybe it's a meaning to look at the fringe and, oh, I don't want to go back into my fringed life, my frail life. I don't want to go back into that, but I remember the commandments to do them. So I could see how this is important. This little thing, even though it's not what they're doing, because we don't wear bordered garments anymore. But I thought to myself, gosh, that would have reminded me during the week when I was doing computer programs, when I was calling people, when I was going places. And I thought to myself, huh, isn't that weird? God does things for a reason. I could see how it would make you remember to praise the Lord. It might make you do a lot of other things too. It says that you may remember. The whole idea of this fringe is to remember all the commandments and be holy. This might actually, this little thing right here might make you remember to be holy, believe it or not. You might, the little devil might have something to cast your eyes on, and all of a sudden, boink, the fringe. You remember, oh, it's to be holy unto your God. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. Praise the Lord. Now, this study right here, I say, if this, we're not finished yet for today, but if you get a chance, that chapter 13, 14, and 15, I'm serious. It's really, if you read it real slow in your house, and I might read it over again too, but there's so many things to think about in those chapters. I mean, the thing is packed out. So I say, try to do that. Praise the Lord.
Somebody didn't have a question before we get to another
okay.
one. Okay. He says, does Malachi teach we should all move to Israel now?
I say, if you can move to Israel, go. That's what I could say. Yes, I believe personally, my own personal belief, which I could probably back up with a lot of scriptures, God says, be in the land, dwell in the land, inhabit the land. I mean, the only people that are in the land are Jews that reject the Messiah. They're running the show. And then the secular government couldn't care less about the Bible. We got Ehud Olmert trying to give away the Golan Heights this last month. I mean, that's how crazy this world is. So I say, yes, read the Bible. You'll find out if God wants you to go to the land. How's that sound? If God wants you to be in the land. I mean, do you like being in the galut? This is called the galut. This is called we're scattered. This is called we're in the exile. That's what galut means in Hebrew. Anyway, praise the Lord. Now, if you have a chance, we're going to do a quick other study just to change the channel here for a moment, because this is something I wanted to go over. It's called Messiah is the image of God. I was thinking about this last week or so, and this is very important. I wanted to go over just a few verses before we end today. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, but if the gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, you know who the God of this world is?
Lucifer.
Yeah, Lucifer, correct. Satan. The God of this world had blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest he blinds their minds, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Messiah, Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Messiah is the image of God. Amen. John 14:9, Jesus said unto them, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that had seen me had seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. We were created in the image of who's the image of God? The Messiah. So it says God created man in his own image. We're created in the image of the Messiah. Yes. Does everybody understand that? Mm-hmm. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. I mean, you know what it says? Like it says some people say the big God. There's only one God, but God the Father. We don't even have any idea what he looks like or anything. Some people, they say Moses saw his backside, but at the same time, the image of God is the Messiah, because there's actually a manifestation of a body. Genesis 9:6, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he him. Made he man. So if you go up again, go back up to the top for a second, please. Mm-hmm. It says right there, the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God.
That's right.
So we're made in the image of God. Right. Yeah. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive, which is a miracle. I mean, it wouldn't be such a big deal if it's just somebody, some lady. Some people try to say virgin is not a, the word Alma isn't virgin. That's ridiculous. Because what big deal would it be if a regular lady had a son? No. This is a sign. This is a sign. Does everybody understand that? This is a sign that a virgin's going to bear a son. What kind of a sign would it be if I said some lady had a son? That's just normal. This says, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel. That means in Hebrew, God with us. Right. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 8:8, and it shall come to pass through Judah. Remember Judah? He shall overflow and go over. He shall reach even to the neck and stretch out his wings. Shall fill the breadth of the earth, of the land, O Emmanuel. That's what the Messiah is going to do. Matthew 1:23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us.
Amen.
This image of God. Praise the Lord. 1 Timothy 3:16. Without controversy, there shouldn't be any controversy. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Does everybody see that?
Mm-hmm.
There ain't no misinterpretation. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. The image of God. John 1, in the beginning was the Word.
Mm-hmm.
And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Just think of that. In the beginning, I'm talking about in Genesis. The same was in the beginning with God. Now, it's hard to understand, because if the Word is God, but yet the Word of God is with God in the beginning. Yeah, and he's the image of God. Praise the Lord. All things, check this out. The Messiah, the Word of God, the Father said here, all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. We're talking about Yeshua, the Messiah, the Word of God. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And remember in Genesis, brother Saul here, Paul, we were talking about this a week ago. The light, like in Genesis, it says the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Remember in Genesis, God divided the light from the darkness? That's what this is talking about. That's before the sun, right? Praise the Lord. That's in Genesis chapter 1. Praise the Lord. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Can everyone not understand that? There are people that do not understand that. The Word of God was made flesh and dwelt among us, which is Jesus, Yeshua. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. They actually saw him. They said, John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Praise the Lord. This is the Messiah, Yeshua talking. Listen to what Yeshua says in Matthew 7:21. Not every one that saith unto me, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Right. Many will say unto me, Lord, Jesus, Yeshua, in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, Jesus, Yeshua? In your name, Messiah, Yeshua, have we not cast out devils? In your name, have we not done wonderful works? And then the Messiah, Yeshua, is going to say, I will profess unto them, I never knew you. He's going to say, depart from me, the Messiah, depart from me, you that work iniquity. All judgment is given unto the Son. All judgment is given unto the Word. And that makes sense. And why? Because the Word is going to judge you in the end, the Bible says. And He is the Word. Think of all that. He is the Word, and that Word is going to judge you. And there He is judging you. He's going to say, I never knew you. You didn't cast out devils in my name. You didn't do wonderful works in my name. Who was it? Oh. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which also is in Messiah, Yeshua, Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God. He was in the form of God. He thought it not even robbery to be, he's equal with God.
It wasn't robbery.
It wasn't robbery. But he made himself of no reputation, and he took upon him the form of a king? No, a servant, and was made in likeness of men. Oh, boy. I mean, everybody wants to be the big cheese, right? The big movie star, the king, the queen. He made himself a servant. Yeah. And being found in fashion as a man, he actually, the word of God that was from everlasting, I mean, that created everything, and all things were created by him and for him and through him, and he found himself in fashion as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Yes. The Roman punishment, and also the Jewish law that says, he that hangeth on a tree is cursed of God. Wherefore God highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. God exalted his word. He gave him a name above every name. That the name of Yeshua, Jesus, every knee should bow. And guess what? Every knee is going to bow. If you do it now, you're going to do it later. You better do it now. Even every knee is going to bow of even things in heaven. Think of that. All the angels, everybody just falls down before the Messiah. The 20 elders, they just collapse. Remember those guys? The 24 elders in Revelations? They fall down before the Lamb. They say, worthy are you, O Lord. Everything's going to bow, things in earth and things under the earth, whatever that is. And that every tongue, every single tongue, whether you do it willingly or not, you're going to end up confessing that Yeshua, the Messiah, Jesus, the Christ, is Lord, Adon. He is the Lord to the Kavod, Ha-Elohim, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, to show you that the way Yeshua walked around, even these Jews knew that. They said in John 18, wherefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, which of course he didn't, but he said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. See, they even perceived that. And Deuteronomy 6:4 says, hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God, is one Lord. That's Echad. And that's a compound unity. That means there's more going on there than just one. It's not Yahid. It's Yahad, which is totally different. Yahid is one. Echad is one school, but there's a lot of people. You know what I mean? It's like more of a compound kind of thing. Matthew 12:29, Jesus answered him, of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel. Here he is quoting Deuteronomy. Yeshua is quoting Deuteronomy. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And the scribe said unto him, Well, Master, thou hast said the truth. There is one God, and there is none other but He. Romans 3:30, Seeing it is one God, which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. What I'm trying to get at here with these few verses is, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There isn't two gods. There's one God. There's one God. There's just one that we could, or I should say they saw, you know. Galatians 3:20, Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Yes, a mediator is a mediator of two people, but God is one. Ephesians 4:4, There is one body, one spirit, even as you're called in, there's one hope of your calling. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's above all and through all and in you all. That's Ephesians 4, 5, and 6. Praise the Lord. That's why we read the Torah portion, Shalach, where it says there's one law, Torah Echat. 1 Timothy 2:5, there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Yeshua, the Mashiach, Yeshua, or Christ Jesus. There's only one. You can't get to the Father any other way. He's the door. James 2:19, thou believest that. James says, you believe there's one God? You better. Now, you do well, because you know why? The devils also believe and tremble. James 4:12 says, there's one lawgiver who's able to save and to destroy. Who are you that judges somebody? You know, you can't judge somebody in your judgment. You have to use God's judgment, because ye are gods. It says, ye are Elohim, meaning you have God's judgment to judge righteously. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anyway, I just wanted to make sure you knew who the image of God was and the manifestation of God, and God was manifest in the flesh. And I just thank God for the blood of the Messiah. I thank God for everything.
Minnesota chat had to leave when you said that.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, so answer the going to Israel one more time.
Okay.
Oh, wait, he's gone again. Okay, they're there.
Okay, getting back to the question about, should you go to Israel? I say yes. I think we should, anyone that's a believer of the Messiah, we should figure out how to get there, inhabit the land, dwell in the land, be in the land that God wanted us to be. And then from Jerusalem, from Zion, the word of the Lord should go forth. We're trying to do it backwards. Just because we were born in Arzot HaBrit, America, we're trying to do it from here and going back. We're doing it the opposite way. But, you know, we have to conquer this. We're all born here, and it just feels so good, and we don't want to leave the Galut, the exile. We love the exile, don't we? No, I don't want to be here. So I want to make provisions to escape this exile, and I want to make a stand in Israel. And I think if people that believe in the Messiah all got together and lived in Israel, there'll be a community of people that believe in the Messiah, and you'll make a voice. But nobody does nothing, because we just stay here. And life goes by. Anyway, praise the Lord. I'm going to stop here. So I say shalom, shalom. God bless you on the Sabbath. If there's any questions or comments, this will be on the website later. And God bless you. And Baruch Hashem Yeshua. Amen.